going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Jones and Keefe.
With the fourth pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Will Campbell, tackle, LSU.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
Happy Friday.
You ready for the newest Patriot, Keefe?
I guess so. Yeah.
What do you mean you guess? You're supposed to be excited.
I am. Well,
this is your guy.
I know it is my guy. It's not a defensive guy, so I'm not mad. I'm not going to stamp my foot. I'm not upset about it.
But you're not excited.
But as the weeks were going on, I was talking myself more into one of these dynamic skill guys and then trading for a tackle or maybe even getting one later in the first round. I'm not – by no means am I anti-Will Campbell. We did the whole love it or hate it thing. I actually did vote love it at that time, but it was the most like, because I don't hate it, I guess I have to vote love it.
I loved it.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I do. They need a left tackle, and you just better hope that he is a left tackle. If he's a left tackle, that removes some of the sting. The second you move him into guard, then it becomes a waste of a pick.
So, look, I voted hate it.
No, I know you. Yeah.
I would still today vote hate it. Unlike all you frauds out there.
This is shocking.
This is a joke. It's honestly a joke. We put out a show poll. We did a number of these
on
prospects.
Yeah.
Over the course of the last 2 weeks. Hate it or love it. We'll revisit the full thing at 11:45 today. But we did a series on this of all the different prospects for a reason, because we know you're frauds. We could see it coming a mile away. And so when we asked, 56% of Patriots fans hated the idea of Will Campbell at 4.
Yeah. Hated it.
That's the majority.
Just for some context.
That's the majority.
92% would have loved Abdul Carter.
Yes.
84% would have loved Travis Hunter.
Including the Jaguars.
More fans would have loved Ashton Jeanty or even Tyler Warren, who fell a little bit last night.
He did.
Okay? So, like, Campbell at best was fifth out of all these names we threw around. And now today, the Greg Hill Show did a great job with this today. They put out a show poll. Do you love or hate the pick? 85% now love it.
Love it.
I love it.
How did that happen?
They saw him in that green suit.
How did that happen?
He's on the Patriots now.
He said he'd die for Drake May, and so that's why. That was it. You guys are that easy?
He does say all the right things.
You guys have no convictions and no beliefs and no stick-to-itiveness when it comes to a take and an opinion?
Yeah.
From 56% hate to 85% love?
I'm not shocked.
I'm shocked. That swing shocks even me.
That was like 2 years ago. If you asked somebody if Matt Judon was good, what would they say?
Oh, he's the best.
And if you asked them last year, what did they think?
Guy
sucks and everyone's good. Yeah. Like, that's just how it goes. When they're on your team, you like them a lot more. When they're not, all of a sudden they're not as good as they were. But yeah, the Will Campbell one, he hasn't even played a game yet. He just simply got drafted and it was like, yeah, I love the pick. It's like, do you really love the pick? It seems like, and I know Vrabel tried to, you know, spin it like, you know, he had said pre-draft that in a perfect world, you get best player on your board that also fills a need. And I had a feeling they were going to try to talk themselves into that. We'll never know. We don't know exactly. They're not going to release their big board to see what it is. But there are certain guys out there. Like Field Yates had Will Campbell really high, probably the highest of anybody.
Because yeah, we were going Yates, through when we talked to him, he had him fifth.
So he
Jeremiah and Kuiper both had him more like 10th.
Right. Yeah. So he's a top five prospect by maybe one evaluator, and he's more like a top 10 prospect pretty unanimously, top 10 or 12 across the board, and then you take him fourth. So it does feel like a little bit of a reach. It also feels like they probably couldn't have traded down, but I'm not going to kill him for that. And the reason is, if they really did like him, don't mess around with it. Don't get cute and then have somebody snipe him at six. So if they really like Will Campbell, and I assume that they do, if they're going to take him at number four, I think you could have done a lot worse last night.
So, you know, there's a few things I want to get into here today. Apparently they had a late meeting with Will Campbell that kind of pushed this over the goal line.
They measured him one more time.
Well, if you're still visiting with him, Jeremy Fowler had this tweet yesterday. Vrabel talked about it last night. We're going to play you some audio coming up here on Jones and Keefe. But Jeremy Fowler said their brass traveled to Louisiana in recent days to visit with Will Campbell. New England has been linked to him, blah, blah, blah. So that came out early in the day yesterday, and Vrabel was asked about it last night. And if you really have conviction and belief, you're not sitting there trying to move down, which Vrabel also said they were listening, but they didn't get a lot of calls. You're not visiting with him last second if you really have conviction and belief. And that's fine. How could you have conviction and belief in a guy with unprecedented, borderline unprecedented short arms for a tackle? Not just a left tackle, for an NFL tackle, borderline unprecedented short arms.
But he might also have unprecedented snarl. he does seem to have a bit of a snarl to him.
There's some snarl.
Yeah. You want snarl.
There's snarl. There were tears. There was a range of emotions last
Listen,
night.
Listen, he's hot. He's cold. You're drafted. That's a lot to take.
So here's what I want to push back on. And we can get into all your thoughts. 617-779-7937. Do you think the arm length is insignificant? This is a left tackle. You love the pick. Or are you sticking to your guns, most of you, hating the pick before the Patriots made it? We'll hear from you all day long. Again, 617-779-7937. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We'll be doing a lot today. Top 5 Friday. We'll give you the top 5 players left on our boards, the Jones Big Board, the Keefe board over there. Who are the top 5 options at pick 38 tonight? Because the Pats will be back on the clock sometime in the 7 o'clock hour tonight. We'll go around the rest of the draft, some other moves that happened that are interesting. Plus, we'll get to the Friday 4-pack at 11:30. So stay tuned for all of that. But this idea that it's okay if he moves to guard.
No.
And the short arms, you never really saw the impact. I've seen a lot of people saying that today. Well, you never really saw the impact because he didn't give up a lot of sacks, which
is
true.
That's not T-Rex.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
You didn't see the impact in college because he didn't give up a lot of sacks. That's not true. And I've referenced this video a bunch. It's a Shamar Stewart cut-up with Will Campbell where he never actually got to the quarterback, but he was constantly collapsing the pocket, and people trumpeted that as like a good video and a good look for Campbell going against another first-rounder. And I thought it was a terrible look for him. He allowed 18 pressures last year and also had 9 penalties, the second most in the draft. So it's not that there were no warning signs.
Right.
This is the thing. In college, they didn't rear their ugly heads. But he told us in a video the other day, LSU wasn't sure he was a tackle. LSU, when he came in, wasn't sure he was a tackle. He told us the other day when he got to Green Bay, teams are looking at me as a guard. And on top of that, it's like, okay, well, you allowed a bunch of pressures and you had a bunch of penalties in college. Will those things turn into sacks? And will you have to move inside in the NFL because players are bigger, stronger, faster? That is the fear with him.
Yeah, if he's a guard, it's a horrible pick. Like, I thought drafting Cole Strange late in the first round was a horrible pick as a guard. Logan Mankins was a little bit different because a lot of people will throw Logan Mankins at you and be like, well, he was a first-round pick. He was the last pick of the first round for a team that had won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years or whatever. Like, the team was a wagon. They needed that guy. Even then, it seemed like a slight reach. You were like, really, that's what you're doing? And then he was awesome. So I'll give you that. He was awesome. And, you know, Quentin Nelson's great. But look at most of the Pro Bowl guards. Look at the All-Pro guards. You can find them elsewhere. In fact, the last time the Patriots had 2 stud guards was Joe Tooney and Shaq Mason. And those were day 2, day 3 draft picks. So I hate the idea of, guys, this actually isn't that bad of a pick because worst case, he's a good guard. I don't want a guard. I don't want a guard with the 4th pick in the draft when you're watching guys like, you know, Ashton Jeanty and Tyler Warren, et cetera, get drafted after him. So if he is a good starting left tackle, then it is a win. And that's what you got to be banking on. Every team that took a player in the top 10 is saying, all right, this guy is going to be an all-pro someday. That's at least what you're going to be hoping for in the top 10. And it better be at left tackle. And if he struggles early and they immediately kick him inside, that's a horrible sign, because that means the whole time that's what they were thinking. If he struggles early on at left tackle, but they work with him and they keep him at left tackle, that to me would make me feel a lot better.
So a bunch of texts already rolling in. 617-779-7937. Guys, his arms are not that much shorter than Matt Light. Light was pretty good, right? Well, Light was a second-round pick because people thought he might have to bump into guard. He didn't have to, but he wasn't the fourth overall pick. We also get these. Oh, Dante Scarnecchia says arm measurement doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't he know more about you? Or know more than you about coaching the offensive line? Well, of course he does. The Patriots also thought Isaiah Wynn was a left tackle.
Yeah, and not, I mean, Dante's the great. Dante's the GOAT. But Dante, by all accounts, picked Isaiah Wynn.
So,
no,
like,
he is. But you know, there were people miss.
Okay, I'm just saying, they thought Isaiah Wynn was going to be fine. Isaiah Wynn sucked, and that was a pick in the 20s, and there were the same questions about his arm length and would he be a guard and would he have to kick inside. So sometimes, you know, even the best at it, Scarnecchia, are wrong. And I have a specific example for you with a player with similar questions. And so Dante can brush off arm length all he wants. You know, Matt Light, Logan Mankins. Logan Mankins had to play guard. He was a college tackle who
and
had to play
Matt
guard.
Matt Light's wingspan to play this game, I think, was 80 inches.
Okay.
And Will Campbell's was 77 3/8.
Okay. So, like, that's not even close.
So Matt Light is on the small end, and it's still whatever it is bigger than Will Campbell.
And he was pick 50 or whatever. I'm way more willing to take the round there, the roll of the dice there than at pick 4.
Yeah, if you took Matt Light at 4 overall, people would have been like, what on earth is happening right now? But so, yeah, I think what you have to kind of bank on, and if you're going to sell yourself on it, you can't ignore all these numbers. But you got to say, could he be the guy to sort of change that talk? Could he be the exception of the rule? But that's what you have to hope. I don't think you can just throw the numbers out. It's like we were saying the other day, like when you drafted Kyler Murray and you were like, he's 5'8 or whatever, you couldn't be like, it doesn't matter. You'd have to be like, well, he has to be extra special to be good, because that obviously did matter for a long time. I think the overall average height of the quarterback has probably come down a little bit. Just with all these different guys, you know, playing the position, like, you know, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, Drew Brees, whatever. But for Will Campbell, you can't just be like, it doesn't matter. It does matter, but maybe he's going to have to be the exception of the rule.
So does he have to be a left tackle? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Is it a misevaluation if he's not a left tackle? Vrabel was asked that directly last night. We'll get to that coming up. Are you happy with the pick either way? If you were one of those who's changed your mind from hate to love just because the guy was purely picked by your team at pick 4, we'd like to hear from you as well.
Explain yourself.
Again, 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, a couple of clips here. Vrabel was asked directly last night, is he going to be a left tackle? Here's what he said.
Mike, is he a left tackle?
Yeah, I mean, that's where he started, and he's a left tackle, and, you know, that's what he's played. That's what he's, you know, done. And so he'll come in here and he'll compete to be the left tackle, just like everybody else is going to compete for their spots. That's what we're trying to create here. It is something that there's competition at every position, and that our players believe that the best players are going to play.
Okay. So he's going to come in. He's going to compete. Yeah, he was a college and left tackle, college left tackle in the SEC. He's going to come in. He's going to compete. That's where he's going to start. You know, we'll see. A lot of people have referenced this. We brought it up at various points. I mean, number one, there were not a lot of good drafts when he was in Tennessee. How much say Vrabel had in that, we can debate. But the fact of the matter is, there weren't a lot of good drafts there. And the one that probably got everybody fired in Tennessee, and, you know, Vrabel's last draft there was Peter Skoronski at pick 11 at a Northwestern, who they thought was a tackle. He wasn't a tackle. He was a guard.
Not even a very good one at that. No, that's tough.
And so Vrabel already has a bad track record with this. But they're going to have him come in. They're going to have him compete. If he's a left tackle for a year, Keith, and then has to kick inside, you started hearing this a lot. And by year two, he's a guard, but he gets you through this year, and you've upgraded your offensive line. Is that worth it in a bad draft?
No.
I don't think so either, but you hear that sometimes. No. We're like, oh, well, he'll play tackle for you this year, and then he'll kick in, and he'll be a Pro Bowl guard.
No, another guy that moved positions, it's a little bit apples to oranges, but when they took Devin McCourty, he was a really good corner for a year, and then they had to move him to safety. And obviously, corner is a much more valuable position than safety. They still drafted him in the 20s, though. So it was a little bit easier to be like, all right, we have to move you off of this really premium position, and then you're still going to be a really good impact player. At four overall, I think the question, or I think that sort of changes the equation a little bit. And also, left tackle to left guard, I mean, just look at what these guys get paid, is pretty significant. So if he does it for a year, no, I don't like that idea.
No, and I think already that's people telling you he's probably a guard and they're just trying to defend the pick.
Well, and the people that were happy about the pick, like Twitter responses yesterday, which are, you take them with a grain of salt, but a lot of them were pretty negative. The ones that did like the pick were like, you got your left tackle for the next decade. If that's true,
you made a great pick.
Then you're 100% right, and I would agree with you. Even if he is, even if he's Nate Solder, who would never get confused with Jonathan Ogden or Orlando Pace, but if he's Nate Solder, good. In this draft, good pick.
Right.
You hit it.
Might not be a great pick, but it was a need. It was a bad draft. If you get, I agree with you.
Yeah.
If you get Nate Solder, he's a starter for 10 years. He's probably not a Pro Bowler, but he's a good, solid left tackle. Then this is a good pick. If he has to kick inside to guard, even if he's a high-level guard.
No, I don't want that.
Then that's a problem for me. One thing I do like, and I'll give Will Campbell this, and I wonder if the Patriots, I'm going to say, fell for it, quote-unquote. That makes it sound like he's, you know, duping them or something. But I wonder if the Patriots fell in love with his attitude, the way he carries himself, and the idea of Will Campbell more so than the actual prospect. But here's what Will Campbell had to say about his play style.
If you were to describe your playing style to the New England fan base, how would you describe it?
Nasty. You know, I'm going to go out there and give everything I have every single play to, you know, protect my teammates, protect my quarterback, and just put the, you know, the Patriots in the best position possible to, you know, help win games on Sundays.
Okay.
No, he says all the right stuff.
That I like. I like him saying it's BS that my arms are short. Like, he should believe it's BS. Like,
right.
So I do like the way he carries himself. I like the edge. How's your play style?
It's nasty.
It's nasty.
Nasty. It's so nasty.
We're saving that as a drop.
It's so nasty.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
It's nasty.
So I do like that.
Oh, I love Mr. Nasty. So sign me up. No, he said
you were a fan of the Nasty Boys. That was you were a fan.
Love
of the Nasty Boys.
Yeah,
who wasn't?
But he had a lot of good comments. Remember, he was like, you know, you give up one sack a game, then like you're not going to be in the pros. You get one sack a game, you're a first round pick. Like he had these
You give up one sack a game, you're working at Amazon,
right? But you get one sack a game, and now you're like a top 10 pick. So
So I
he's
like
had
that
great quotes
too.
All
like
along,
that.
But like those quotes aren't
nasty.
Hey, nasty. They're not as cool if you're a guard. Because you know what? I remember. Did Cole Strange, either he had something when he got drafted. It was like he doesn't wear gloves or sleeves or like whatever. Remember, there was some cool thing about him, too.
Like tape his fingers
or
whatever.
I don't remember, but I'm sure there was something stupid.
It was
like
something
that.
That we all talked ourselves into. We're like, oh, this guy. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
But even then, I was like, I don't know about a guard from Chattanooga, but whatever. Like, so you could say all the right things, but as soon as you get bullied by somebody in the NFL or the team makes the adjustment that you have to play guard now, like, well, then that changes everything. None, these quotes aren't nearly as exciting.
Yeah. Look, now, how do I feel about the draft pick in a word?
Nasty.
I mean, it's not my,
come on.
It's not my favorite
draft
pick.
Don't use his own words against him.
It's not mine. Should we change it from hate it or love it to
nasty?
Nasty, not nasty.
The nasty scale.
So it was not my favorite pick personally. You were always kind of on board with it, Keith.
I am.
But you're not in love with it.
No, I know. I was starting to talk myself into some of the other guys that were in the draft. As the text line points out, size doesn't matter if you're nasty.
Nasty.
I mean, I do like that.
You got to make up for it somehow.
It's not all negatives with him. There are some check marks there. I mean,
he's pretty nasty.
When it comes down to it, he's nasty.
So is that a top tier drop or a bottom tier drop?
Good point. That's absolutely a tier drop.
Both. Yeah. Really confusing for Tier Tuesday. It's the top tier and the bottom tier.
And it's just only two tiers.
Yeah.
I like it.
Nasty.
617-779-7937. Will Campbell, your newest Patriot. What do you think? How do you feel about it? Do you love it or do you hate it? A good show poll today by the Greg Hill Show. Most of you, shockingly, now the Patriots have actually drafted Will Campbell, have talked yourselves into it. We have more thoughts on, well, his lack of arm length, his lack of reach. We'll get into Mike Vrabel and whether or not he's done enough to fix these roster issues. Plus, we got a Friday four-pack of questions for you at 11:30. It's a top five Friday. We'll give you our top five remaining choices on the board for the Patriots at pick number 38 and all your phone calls right after trending with Bridget.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. Last night, the NFL draft kicked off, and with the fourth overall pick, the New England Patriots selected LSU tackle Will Campbell in the first round. Rounds 2 and 3 are tonight at 7 p.m., where the Patriots currently hold the 38th and 69th, as well as 77th picks. Yesterday, Red Sox pitcher Garrett Crochet struggled a bit in the Red Sox 4-3 loss to the Seattle Mariners yesterday afternoon. Crochet gave up 4 runs in 5 innings while striking out 9 and walking 5 batters. The Red Sox head to Cleveland to start a 3-game weekend series against the Guardians. Tanner Houck gets the start for the Red Sox tonight opposite the Guardians' Ben Lively. First pitch with Will Middlebrooks and Cooper Boardman is at 7:10 across the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network. And don't forget to tune in to the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at 6:10 with Christian Arkham. Game 3 between the Celtics and the Magic is tonight with tip-off at 7 p.m. in Orlando. Drew Holiday is listed as questionable with a right hamstring strain, and Jason Tatum is listed as doubtful for the second straight game due to that bone bruise in his right wrist that Joe Mazzulla has come out and called severe. Trending Now is brought to you by Mario's Roofing. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Bridget Prue, and that's what's trending now.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Now.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
And streaming on WEEI.com.
You are Mr. Louisiana, but you just got a love letter from the New England Patriots. You haven't stopped smiling since you heard your name. What's behind that smile?
Man, just all the hard work.
Congratulations.
I've worked my entire life to be up here, to be able to get my name called by a franchise like New England. It means everything to me.
We can feel that. We absolutely can feel that, Will. You are brought to New England to protect Drake May. What kind of tone are you going to set on this offensive line?
I'm going to fight and die to protect them with everything I've got.
Congratulations, Will.
The guy had a great quote. He's going to fight and die.
The guy has a great night.
Fourth overall pick.
Who among us would mind? He's pouring his tears out.
Yeah.
Who among us? Who would take a low blow at a man crying his heart out?
Just Nick.
And nasty.
Take a shot at his teeny tiny little baby arms. Like, how
are
dare
all
you?
Of your songs themed to this today, Nick?
I mean, it can be.
Tune in to find out.
Make sure we
shall see.
Make sure we keep track of that. But that look, I do like when he says, "I'm going to die out there for Drake May."
Love it.
I mean,
hell yeah.
I hope it goes a little better for him on the field than that.
These are modern day gladiators.
But all the attitude stuff I get, like, yeah, I'm nasty. Yeah, I'm out there and I'll die for the quarterback. Yeah. Like, you know, even the emotion he's showing there. I get it. He seems like he's an easy guy to root for. Is that why they picked him? Like, I am starting to wonder, because are they getting culture guys? Are they getting leaders? Are they getting the best guys for the room, or are they getting the best football players?
And yeah, because if they go to
the real way we would have known didn't come up last night, Keith. We talked a lot about it going into the draft. Carter versus Campbell, if they're both there at 4.
Oh yeah.
We would have really gotten a definitive answer. But I do wonder that about him. He seems like an easy guy to root for. Can he play at the biggest position of need? That's a massive question for the fourth pick.
Right. So if you're Mike Vrabel, because we don't think Elliott Wolf had anything to do with it. So if you're Mike Vrabel, do you honestly think Will Campbell is the clear-cut best left tackle in the draft? Then if so, let's go. Let's roll with that. Let's see how that goes. Hopefully that works and you go with it. But if you're drafting him because one of two reasons or both, where you're thinking, well, if he struggles there, we can move him to guard. I don't like that. Or if it's, well, he's nasty. He says all the right things. It's like, well, that's not always the thing either. It doesn't mean you're the best player. It means you have a great attitude.
Nasty.
And, right. And I'm sure there are guys, that's a guy you want to work with, because it seemed like initially they were only bringing in good guys. Uh-huh. And then it came out, and Curran kind of fueled this a little bit on our show when he was saying they don't want to give Drake May any, like, a-holes to play with.
Right.
And you're like, all right, all these guys are good guys. All these guys that they brought in played for either Vrabel, Williams, or McDaniels. They know all these guys. They want good guys, which isn't the quickest path to a good team. But then they signed Steph Diggs. And I think some of the stuff's overblown with him, but, like, he's not known as just, like, an easy guy to work with. So
definitely
I was like,
not.
I'm like, all right. They are prioritizing talent. Like, that gave me a little bit of hope that it is going to be about talent. And then their first draft pick, they immediately go with a guy that's super easy to work with and says all the right things. And you're like, all right, like, hopefully it's both. Hopefully he's a super talented guy that also is a good leader, good locker room guy, and all that. And it's not, you're not overly prioritizing that.
No, I agree. I hope they're not over prioritizing that. That is a fear. He's been asked directly about it. The most direct question last night, and Vrabel scolds Bedard a little bit here, Keith.
All right.
The most direct question last night.
Like Cam Neely style? I don't think it was that contentious.
Vrabel said, come on down. Yeah, I need to talk to you after this thing.
Okay.
But the most direct question is a great question by Bedard. Is it a misevaluation if Will Campbell is not a tackle and he has to move to guard as the fourth pick? Here's that exchange last night.
If Will eventually has to move inside, is this a misevaluation this high in the draft at fourth overall?
I think that what we're focused on is where he's going to be tomorrow and the next day, and not what the misevaluation is. Like, we coveted this player. This was a very good football player. And so I think part of the draft is adding great pieces and great players to your roster, which is what we did. So he hasn't even shown up here in Foxborough, and we're not going to talk about where he's going to play or what he's going to do. I'm going to let everything really speak for itself and let his play and what he does in the community and most importantly on the field before we start talking about that. You know, I mean, I just think that's not fair. I've never thought about that one time. You know, we've watched every game that he's played, put a lot of work into this, and we're all excited and happy that he's here.
Okay. I don't love that answer.
I don't love that answer either.
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. So, we brought in a good football player. He never once mentions we brought in a good left tackle. Like, you desperately need a left tackle. You were asked about left tackle and the few times that you've had availability prior to the draft, and you had mentioned, well, we got Vidarian Lowe, we got Layden Robinson, and probably the draft. So then you draft a guy, and then you're like, well, we brought in a good football player, and, like, we'll see where he goes. What? Like, wouldn't now be the time to be like, he's a left tackle? Unless part of you is saying, I don't want to put out there that it'd be a misevaluation, because then the second we move him to guard, I then get this thrown in my face
right.
That it was a misevaluation.
Right, he moved to guard. Yeah, that would be a misevaluation, right. And it blows up on him.
But, I mean, if you draft, Abdul Carter, like, you know what position he's playing. If you draft Ashton Jeanty, you know what position he's playing. Travis Hunter's maybe a little bit of a wild card, right? But even they know what two positions he's playing. But with Will Campbell, you shouldn't be saying, oh, we just brought in a good football player. Oh, it's four overall. Did you bring in a premium left tackle?
So would it be a misevaluation? Let me answer. Whether Vrabel wants to or not, yes, that would be a misevaluation. A guard at four would be a misevaluation.
Unless he's Hog Hannah.
What if he's Hog Hannah?
Yeah.
What if he's Quentin Nelson? Okay, well, you can play that game all day long. Text line. What if he's Robert Gallery? What if he's Brandon Scherff? Mm. What if he's Jonathan Cooper? Like, that, then that's a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
And even in a bad draft, that to me is not worth it. I want to go one step further with something you just said, because it triggered something.
All right,
Nick, if you can hear me, can we play Vrabel one? Because I think Keith just hit on something that jumped out to me too. When this is his opening statement.
Mm-hmm.
This is just what his first takeaway on how he felt and what he thought about Will Campbell at four, and these are what he views as the pros, and just listen to them and see if it's his talent level, his ability as a tackle, or if it's something different.
Adding Will to our football team is that it's about a foundational piece, a young 21-year-old that's mature beyond his years. He's a leader, he's durable, he's physical, dependable, you know, accountable. He's a quick study. We spent a lot of time with him, and whatever mistakes that showed up, which they all do, he recovers quickly and can fix those mistakes. And, you know, we spent a lot of time and we looked at a lot of other players and worked a lot of other players out. And, you know, he made a huge impact on us, and we're excited about adding him and look forward to seeing him and his family here tomorrow.
Okay. So I hear mature, yeah, leader, dependable. There was another answer in there where he basically was like, well, all these tackles get beat, so he's probably going to get beat. And you heard some of that there, too. It's like, well, it's how he adjusts and what he's going to do about it. And just I don't hear a lot of talking up the prospect. I hear a lot of leader, durable, great on the team, dependable.
Which is something that you like to highlight in the later rounds.
Yeah, and just that's not insignificant. I'm not telling you those things don't matter.
No, but it's a good tiebreaker with like other things and like later on. I feel like at 4 overall, you should be drafting a stud. And if that stuff is part of it, great. But if it's not, you're sort of like, all right.
Right, if that's the best thing you're saying about the 4th overall pick, I think a lot of these problems ring true.
I don't love how he's also just overall not very confident, or at least outwardly confident about left tackle. He's like, oh, great, great player, great kid, great mindset. And you're like, right. What about left tackle?
Yeah, can he play left
tackle?
Which
you haven't had in half a decade.
Let me read you these Giardi numbers again, and then we'll get to the phones. I think we're having some issues with the phones earlier. I think all
Someone's playing games with the phones?
I think the technical issues have been sorted out on the phones, so we'll get to the phones.
Good, good.
But Giardi had this yesterday. Now, it's from a reader, Keith.
Yeah, okay. This I don't know.
Like, you don't like this number?
No, the number could... Well, I don't like it as somebody that's trying to talk myself into Will Campbell. I do not like these numbers. But has anybody...
It was Elliot Wolf.
Fact-check these numbers?
Elliot Wolf was writing it about Vrabel doesn't know.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, hit me with these numbers again.
From a reader, Mike Giardi says. So blame Giardi and,
how long would it take to fact-check this?
His emailers. Of the 164 offensive linemen drafted in the first two rounds since 2011... 26 had both an arm length of 33 inches or shorter and a wingspan of 80 inches or shorter. Okay, so that's a lot of numbers. Just let me break it down again. Over the last 14 years entering this draft, there were 164 O-linemen drafted.
Yep.
And only 26 of them had the same measurements as Campbell. 33 inches or shorter arm length, 80 inches or shorter wingspan. Only 3 of them became starting tackles in the NFL. All of them were right tackles. So another way of saying it, out of all those guys drafted, 26 had the same measurables. None were left tackles since 2011.
Since 2011.
The top two rounds, highly targeted players.
Yeah, but I mean, 14, you're talking about starting tackles. A lot of them were found in the top two rounds. And so out of all those guys, we're talking about he'd be one of one. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't want to be somebody that dismisses the numbers, and then this might be a little wishful thinking, but you have to hope that he becomes the first Will Campbell. And so 5 years from now, a short-armed lineman goes into the draft, and they're like, well, he could be Will Campbell, guys.
He could be Will Campbell.
Or, you know.
And you get all these examples. Rashawn Slater, well, he had a much longer wingspan. You said Matt Light. Didn't he have a much longer wingspan?
Yeah, he did.
So it's like, okay, those guys, even the examples you're bringing up might match arm length. Do they match both of these measurables? They don't. Again, I think we have the phone sorted out. Let's go to Tim in Hanover. Hello, Tim.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, I just want to say, 30 seconds, that's all. Real quick, this Campbell kid, I hope he does well for him, but the Pats made the wrong guy. The Jets got a bulldozer. Membo, he's an animal. This guy, he's a great tackle, but we should have took, unfortunately, Hunter wasn't there. Why didn't we take a top-notch wide receiver or one of the two great tight ends that they got in the draft?
Okay, so I would have preferred Warren, who fell to 14. I'm not as high on Loveland, mm-hmm. who actually went before Warren.
Yeah, and to Ben Johnson.
Weird.
Johnson wanted him.
I would have taken Genty at 4. I'm well documented on this. But, okay, I think there's a little something to Membu over Campbell. We'll watch that. We'll watch Banks. We'll see how they all play. I mean, those guys will get compared to one another. The way I kind of talked myself into Membu over Campbell was, if he can't play left tackle, I'd rather have a right tackle than a left guard. So assuming neither one can play left tackle, they both have questions about going over there, call it a wash. So what's the alternative? A high-level left guard or a high-level right tackle? I'd rather have the right tackle.
Yeah. And there wasn't, if people were wondering about like trades and trading down and maybe getting Campbell later, there really wasn't. So there was the exciting like Jacksonville moving up with Cleveland, but it really didn't change the order of players. But so Cleveland goes up, Jacksonville goes down. Then there wasn't another trade until the 25th pick. So there's a whole string there where everybody that was just on the clock made their pick. Nobody was, I'm sure a lot of teams were trying to trade down and couldn't. and nobody was really in the mood to trade up until later. You got a few trades there at the back end of the first round.
So, what do you think of the team filling out their needs? Does this pick fill a need at left tackle? Or do you have questions about Will Campbell and where he's going to fit long term on this roster? Does it matter? You can still vote in the Greg Hill Show poll. Do you love or hate the draft pick? It's interesting how those numbers have changed from when we asked Patriots fans just a few short weeks ago. And 56% of you hated the idea of Will Campbell at 4. At last check, now 85% of you love it. So you can dial us up, 617-779-7937. It's Jones and Keefe on a Friday. We'll get you the Friday 4-pack coming your way at 11:30. And coming up next, it's also a Top 5 Friday, the top 5 remaining players left at the top of round 2 with the Patriots picking 38 tonight. We'll do that coming up next.
Now, back to the guys.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Top 5 Friday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get you the top 5 remaining players we want in the draft. Patriots are picking at pick 38. Scheduled to pick at pick 38.
It's true. Last year, they were scheduled to pick early second round, and they traded that pick to the Chargers.
Yeah, you would
Ladd
hope.
McConkey.
You would hope maybe tonight you're the Chargers.
Yes.
And you're moving up and targeting a player you'd like, and you can utilize pick 69, pick 77, nice. Move around the board.
Mm-hmm.
They are scheduled to pick at 38, so pretty relevant, the top 5 remaining options that we want. We'll get to them in a moment. You can still weigh in on Will Campbell, your thoughts on that selection, 617-779-7937. We'll get to some other items that happened last night in the draft, including the trade-up for Travis Hunter should the Patriots have considered doing that, the same way the Jags moved from 5 to 2. But good text here, Keith. Can we start calling Will Campbell C-Rex for his short arms?
C-Rex, not bad.
C-Rex is a pretty good nickname.
That is a good nickname.
I think he should lean in on that, quite frankly. I think
Mr. Nasty, though.
I think, ooh, Mr. Nasty's good, too.
Yeah, not bad.
That's true. Maybe they draft another offensive lineman tonight. They could be the Nasty Boys. Nasty Boys 2.0. Already taken, I guess.
Although, you know what's, the actor Simon Rex, right? No, this is actually oddly very synonymous. Simon Rex, his rap name?
Yeah.
Dirt Nasty.
Dirt Nasty.
Simon Rex is Dirt Nasty.
Didn't know that. I thought you were going to say his rapper name was C-Rex.
No, but close.
Okay.
Close. We're all around it here.
Can we call him that? Okay, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. You guys can jump in at 617-779-7937. All right, top 5 remaining options that we want, Keith, on the board. Why don't you give us your list?
All right, spoiler alert, all offensive players once again. I'm going from 1 to 5. I'm going to go Travion Henderson, running back out of Ohio State, looking for a speed back. You know, you and I both wanted Ashton Jeanty there, and it didn't happen. But you can still get a really good running back to add to the backfield. Jalen Noel, wide receiver from Iowa State. Harold Fannin Jr., tight end out of Bowling Green. That was the kid I mentioned before that had an insane year last year. They threw to him all the time. So he is definitely a pass-catching tight end. How about Cam Scataboo, running back out of Arizona State?
I almost put him on my list.
Yeah, I put him on there.
Wow, so you got two backs on there.
I got two backs on there, and I got two Iowa State wide receivers. Give me Jaden Higgins as my last wide receiver. He's bigger than Noel is. Noel's faster, but still two of the more highly rated wide receivers that still remain on the board. So I have two receivers, two running backs, and a tight end.
So I had some omissions that overlap with you. Jalen Noel almost made my list.
Mm-hmm.
I had running backs that I also liked, not Travion Henderson and not Scataboo, though I considered Scataboo. I like Judkins a lot.
I was going to say, Iowa State has two wideouts, and Ohio State has two running backs that are both pretty good.
Those were omissions from my list.
Okay.
My top target is my favorite receiver in the draft. I like Luther Burden III out of Missouri. I think he could be there at 38, a slight move up to secure that you get him, to me, would be worthwhile. So that's my favorite target. My favorite corner in this draft, and apparently there's a lot of injury questions, so you need to be okay with the medicals.
He sank like a stone.
Will Johnson, one of two players who was invited to the green room last night. It was him, and it was Jalen Milroe, and I don't think most expected Milroe to go last night. He was expected to go last night. He did not. So Will Johnson, not that corner is an immediate need, but it might be a longer-term need for this team, and certainly a good value for a guy who at one point was projected to go in the top 10. I still have Arianti Ursary on my list, the tackle out of Minnesota, and it's twofold. I mean, number one, if you have to kick this guy inside to guard, Will Campbell, taking another swing is not the worst thing in the world, and Ursary has similar questions. I'm much more comfortable doing this at pick 38, but he was a college left tackle in the Big Ten at Minnesota. He may have to move to right tackle, not guard, but right tackle. So maybe you could shore that up longer term. I think
that would scare me, though, because that would make me
think a bad sign for Campbell
and how they view him.
Yeah,
because if they just say we're good, then like, okay, that's at least the guy you're trying to. But if like the next move you make is to protect the first move you just made,
but we can also sit here and say the offensive line is so bad and it's been so bad. Yeah. Double down on it and get a couple of players. He's on my list. I like Nick Emmanuari, the safety out of South Carolina. It's actually my favorite safety in the draft. The kid out of Georgia, Starks, went last night to the Ravens. I prefer this one. And I like Carson Schwesinger, the linebacker out of UCLA. If you're going to add to your front seven, those would be players that, even though I don't need defense, I like that your list is all offense,
Keith.
I do think some of these guys just represent good value, good player.
Well, that's true.
I think safety is a sneaky longer-term need for this team. I don't love Duggar. Curran was shockingly low on Peppers the other day.
Right.
So I think that's a sneaky long-term need for the team. So those would be my top five. Burton, Johnson, Erstery, Emmanuari, and Schwesinger.
They still have a lot of needs. I mean, despite all the additions in free agency, which are great, some of them are older guys. So when you're looking at like long-term solutions, it's still pretty much Drake May, Christian Gonzalez. Outside of that, I mean, Milton Williams, but you're still looking at a lot of guys like, you know, Curran was pretty low on Carlton Davis. Because I'm thinking, all right, well, you got two good corners.
He was very low on Davis. You're right.
So you're like, all right, so you have Davis for now, but maybe that's where somebody like Will Johnson does come into play.
Yeah, he was like, if Carlton Davis isn't great this year, he's like
gone.
A cut candidate in a couple of years. Yeah.
I was like, okay.
No, you're right. He was very low on him, too. So, look, I think Will Johnson, you got to be good with the medicals. I think he represents a tremendous value. And Burton, I've been high on throughout the whole process. Right. A lot of people disagree with that, but I would like him at pick 38. Mike's in Framingham waiting patiently. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Jones. Hey, Keith.
Hey.
Hey, Mike.
So, just been listening to the talk, you know, Christian Campbell being picked last night. Pretty exciting stuff.
Will Campbell, yeah.
You know, I was going to ask you guys, well, you know, who do you rank? But you just did that, right? But my thing about Campbell is, I mean, we relate them to so many other people. I mean, this is a draft. This is a new night. This is a new guy. We can look in the history. We can see what he's done.
Right.
But has he started yet?
No.
I mean, how is he willing to learn?
Well,
we don't
Mike,
know that.
Mike, why don't you call us back in September and we'll have some metrics on him. Yeah.
Prank call?
I don't think so.
Filibuster.
Well, it's definitely a filibuster. Okay. Yeah.
He's taking us on a little bit of a journey there. I wasn't sure if he was messing with us. I thought he was trying to bring back an old segment we used to do called You Done, Son, where we let you just sort of talk until we think you're done, son.
See how long you go until we give you the hook.
Felt like early on he was done. It is. It's a new season. These are new picks. These are new guys. It's a new time.
We could do some Campbell.
Christian Campbell.
We could do some Campbell power rankings. Who's the most popular Campbell in the city?
I kind of feel like
Will Campbell,
still
Christian
Gregory.
Campbell. Gregory Campbell. Right. Soupy.
Speaking of. Doesn't Campbell have to swoop in there and start advertising and get Christian Campbell, Will Campbell, and Gregory Campbell and get all those guys on there and start pushing their chicken and star soup?
I would do that.
My kids love the chicken and stars.
Bring those back.
Yeah. Get those two on there.
Wait, were those the like Donovan Oh, no, was that a...
No, you're thinking of Chunkies.
I'm getting my...
No, come on now. These are very different soups.
These are competing brands.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
No, Chunkies was like Donna Kelsey. I feed my kids this. Like, all right, take a hike. We're talking about the Campbell soup.
Right.
Chicken stars,
and then Will Campbell's on the commercial eating the soup, and the spoon doesn't even get to his mouth.
All right,
it just spills all over his face
because of the short arms. I get
he's
it.
He's a ladle.
What's Christian Campbell's wingspan?
I don't know.
Yeah,
probably longer than Will's.
Probably
617-779-7937. Big move for Travis Hunter up the board. Should the Patriots have considered doing that with all your Will Campbell thoughts? That's next.